Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Monday, the 6th of May. I'm Mike Zimmerman, and on today's show, can Chelsea really qualify for Europe?
They're doing the little things for each other, not just for themselves, and they look much more a team in May than they did in August.
Real Madrid are crowned, but not satisfied.
On Saturday, they celebrated the title in a restrained manner.
And more twists and turns in the WSL title race.
So we're all set up for a very exciting final weekend in the WSL.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Mike Zimmerman.
As we approach the final weeks of the season, there's still plenty to play for. Titles, European spots, and avoiding relegation. Here's how this weekend unfolded. The 150th Kentucky Derby took place on Saturday, so it's only fitting that we start with a two-horse race in the Premier League. Arsenal continued their hot run, beating Bournemouth 3-0, making that four wins on the bounce. And it was Declan Rice who sealed the deal.
Declan Rice! That's it! 3 points for Arsenal today! 3-0!
Manchester City saw Arsenal's three goals and raised them five.
Haaland!
There is only one man. Erling Haaland hops it all for himself.
City 5, West Ham 1. Erling Haaland with 4 goals and a league-leading 25 on the season. Despite faltering down the final furlong, Liverpool are doing their best to send Jurgen Klopp out on a high.
Elliott tries to wrap his foot around it and scores a blinder at the top end.
Liverpool beat Spurs 4-2 in Klopp's penultimate game at Anfield. Technically, they could still win their last two games and still win the title. But only if Arsenal fail to secure a single point in their last two games and if Manchester City fail to pick up two. So, it's not likely. Arsenal lead with 83 points, City have 82, but they still have that one extra game away at Spurs next Tuesday. Spurs' defeat means they were unable to take advantage of Aston Villa's surprise 1-0 defeat to Brighton. Villa sit in 4th on 67 points, Spurs in 5th on 60. So where has it all gone wrong for Tottenham and Postecoglou? Here's Jack Pitbrook.
This was their 4th defeat in a row, which is their worst run in the Premier League for 20 years. They haven't been helped by the fixture list, they've had 4 difficult games on the spin, but in those games they've conceded 13 goals. They've looked really defensively open. I know that in the past they've had problems with set pieces, but at Anfield they also struggled in open play. Every time Liverpool went forward, they looked like scoring. He doesn't seem to know his best midfield. Every week he seems to pick a team that doesn't quite work and then have to make major changes in the second half. They've got problems up front as well. You know, they really missed Richarlison and they improved a lot when he came on, but I'm not sure if he's the long-term solution as a number nine either. So a season which started very, very well for Tottenham, obviously they won 8 and drew 2 of their first 10 in the league, is actually ending with a real whimper. The way they're finishing the season, I think, is going to bring a lot of questions for Postecoglou, specifically about the organisation of the team, about the way they defend, about the way they press, which he's going to have better answers for next summer. I also think that Postecoglou's argument made in a press conference on Friday that he's going to have to sell a lot of players to replace them this summer. To be honest, a lot of players who played didn't really look like they were competing to be part of Tottenham's future. So I wonder whether off the back of the last few weeks, we might see some pretty major surgery at Spurs this summer with some pretty prominent players sold to make room for players who are a bit hungrier for what Postecoglou wants to do.
The fight for sixth and the Europa Conference League spot is still up for grabs. It's currently occupied by Newcastle after they beat Burnley 4-1 at Turf Moor. Burnley remain in 19th on 26 points. And Chelsea, yes, Chelsea, are right on Newcastle's heels, trailing by only 2 points. The Blues destroyed West Ham, winning 5-0. It's been a mostly disastrous first season for Maurizio Pochettino at Chelsea, but somehow he is still in contention for European football next season. Liam Toomey, how has this late season push happened?
What's happened at Chelsea, if you ask Maurizio Pochettino, is that Chelsea are a team now. There was one moment in their 5-0 win over West Ham that stood out to me, and in the course of his post-match press conference, it turned out had stood out to Pochettino as well, and it happened 3 minutes into the second half. Trevor Chalobah's brilliant long pass sends Noni Madueke running into the West Ham penalty area behind the West Ham defence, only Alphonse Areola to beat, and with Nicholas Jackson next to him, completely unmarked to his left, with an empty net in front of him. Now, this precise situation, albeit with different players, has played out 4 or 5 times at Chelsea this season. And on every occasion, the attacker with the ball has gone for goal themselves and not squared for a teammate. And it's infuriated supporters, and it's reinforced a perception of this Chelsea squad that everyone within it is out for themselves. Instead, Madueke took a moment to steady himself, drew the keeper, and then just calmly played the ball across to give Jackson a goal. And so Pochettino was really keen to draw attention to this as a moment of maturity from Madueke, but also a symbol of Chelsea's growing maturity as a team. And I think you can see lots of signs of that through their last two performances against Tottenham and West Ham. They're doing the little things for each other, not just for themselves. And they look much more a team in May than they did in August. We don't know how much that will count for in the final evaluation of Pochettino by the ownership and the sporting leadership at Chelsea when the season's done. But it is tangible progress. It's progress that we can see. It's progress that's being reflected in Chelsea's recent results. And it's progress that may yet lead to European qualification, which, while it may not guarantee Pochettino the chance of a second season at Chelsea, it certainly can't hurt his chances.
Manchester United are still in it too. They could leapfrog both Newcastle and Chelsea with a win tonight against Crystal Palace. In the relegation zone, Sheffield United have already been officially relegated, but the blows keep on coming. In their 3-1 loss to Nottingham Forest, they became the first Premier League side to concede 100 goals in a 38-game season. Now, that Forest win puts them 3 points clear of Luton, who lost to Everton on Friday. And speaking of the Toffees, prospective Everton owner 777 Partners have been accused of fraud by a pair of London-based asset management companies. We'll have you covered on The Athletic as that story unfolds.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic.
In Spain, the Royal Whites of Real Madrid have officially been crowned La Liga champions. They're 36th in club history. They beat Cadiz 3-0 on Saturday. Here's Guillermo Rai on what this title means.
Their title number 36. They are the team that has done it the most times out of the five big leagues, Premier League, Serie A, Bundesliga, Ligue 1, and of course La Liga. It is seen as a confirmation of the great season Madrid have had, especially for barely conceding a single defeat since September. The consistency of Carlo Ancelotti's side, who have gone 28 games unbeaten and surprised the unbeaten run of the Jose Mourinho's era in 2012, means this Liga will be one to remember for for sure. All despite the long and cruel injuries of Thibaut Courtois, Eder Militao and David Alaba, also the absence of a striker in the 11 after Karim Benzema's departure to Saudi Arabia. But Real Madrid have recovered from all of that. They recovered and they overcame everything. And as a result of this excessive ambition from the club, on Saturday they celebrated the title in a restrained manner because they were already thinking about winning the next one, which is their fetish competition, the UEFA Champions League, and which, if they win it, will make this season something exceptional.
Real only clinched the title after Girona beat Barcelona 4-2. Girona jumped into second with that win, 1 point ahead of Barca. And Atletico Madrid beat Mallorca 1-0. They remain in La Liga's fourth Champions League spot. The pursuit of an unbeaten season for German champions Bayer Leverkusen continued on Sunday.
Roger can Schick, and in it goes, Patrick Schick to restore Leverkusen's lead. Must get this again from the back self.
Their 5-1 win against Eintracht Frankfurt means that Xabi Alonso's side have tied Benfica's European football record for most games unbeaten in a row with 48. They have two more Bundesliga games, a German Cup final, and a Europa League semi-final second leg against Roma, with a possible Europa League final remaining. Stuttgart beat Bayern Munich 3-1, but Bayern are still in second, 2 points ahead of Stuttgart. Champions League semi-finalist Borussia Dortmund beat Augsburg 5-1, but one of those five goals was a little more special than the others.
And hang on, it's Marco Reus! It's why he leaves a legend as the Schwarz-Gelben sunsets on Marco Reus, a reminder that he still has a role to play and still can produce big moments in Dortmund colours.
Marco Reus, with Dortmund's third goal of the game, announced on Friday that he will be leaving the club at the end of the season. In Italy, Sassuolo beat Scudetto winners Inter 1-0. AC Milan drew 3-3 with Genoa, but the game of the weekend in Serie A was when Roma hosted Juventus.
Gonna squeeze it beyond Bremer and still, left for Cristante, and Lukaku! Massive match! Roma have the breakthrough! It's Romelu Lukaku! And lifting into the back post, and Bremer!
Oh!
That is a thumping header! The big center back rising to win in the air, his third of the year, and Juve level the half hour!
It finished 1-1 at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. Juventus are sitting comfortably in third, but Roma will be fighting off Atalanta for fifth, the final Champions League spot for Serie A. In the Netherlands, PSV topped Sparta Rotterdam 4-2, winning the Eredivisie for the first time in six seasons. In the WSL, another twist in the title race.
Fowler got a piece of it. So did Catley. Headed on, it's in! Stina Blackstenius, a late twist in the title race with 90 seconds to go. So many late goals from them this season, tons of them. They even won a game in stoppage time. They were losing after 19. Free header! You are kidding me! Blackstenius at the double. Another Arsenal late show.
Arsenal's 2-1 comeback against league leaders Manchester City has opened the door for Chelsea because Chelsea beat Bristol City 8-0 in Emma Hayes' final home game at King's Meadow. There's so much to play for in the final 2 weeks of the season. Here's Jessie Parker-Humphreys.
Around 4 o'clock on Sunday, Manchester City must have felt like they had one hand on the title, 1-0 up against Arsenal, knowing that they had this points buffer over Chelsea after they lost to Liverpool in midweek. But two quick-fire Stina Blackstenius goals in the 89th and 92nd minute meant that Arsenal pulled out a quite incredible win. And that meant that Chelsea suddenly, from nowhere, went into their Bristol City game knowing that not just a win, but crucially a lot of goals would put them right back in it, and they dutifully obliged. It took them a little while to get going. They only scored two in the first half, but they managed to find six in the second to end winning 8-0 against Bristol City. That seven goal lead that Manchester City had in terms of goal difference was absolutely obliterated. It leaves Chelsea 3 points behind, but with a game in hand. One goal above City in terms of goal difference. Chelsea will go to Spurs in 10 days' time. It's the FA Cup next weekend. So we've kind of got this artificial pause in the middle of it all. They'll go to Spurs to try and get those 3 points. And as we know, it's not necessarily a simple equation there. Chelsea weren't able to do it when they went to Liverpool. So it's not worth necessarily adding all those points on automatically. But they'll know if they do get that win, they'll have at least a 2-goal cushion over City heading into the final weekend, with City going away to Villa, Chelsea away to Manchester United. So we're all set up for, hopefully, if Chelsea do get the job done against Spurs, a very exciting final weekend in the WSL, which just unfolded incredibly, incredibly quickly.
Check out Jesse on this week's Full Time, The Athletic's women's football column. For even more on the WSL title race, have a listen to our dedicated women's football podcast, Full Time Europe. And that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Mike Zimmerman, and your executive producer was Ian McIntosh. I'll be back with you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great start to your week.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.